This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. We're going to talk about race relations. We're going to talk about Somali gangs terrorizing Minnesota. The French are warning their people about the dangers of air conditioning. I want to be an ambassador at an embassy somewhere. All that and so much more in what's going to be a heavy final hour.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
On the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to talk about something, and it's going to take a couple minutes and could very well be offensive. Just remember, I don't care if it is. But my buddy Andrew Follett posted something from Gallup. It was a chart. It was showing black-white race relations. Is it good? Is it bad? And if you go back, not ancient history, 2001. That's 2 years after I graduated high school. 2001. It was very good. For most people, it was 60-70% had a positive view on it in the country. Today, 30-40%, cut in half. How could that be? What happened? I mean, segregation didn't come back or something like that. What happened? Barack Obama happened. That's what happened. America thought they were electing a black man. They were electing a communist. And race communism is one of the oldest and most effective forms of communism. We've talked about this before, you and I. Don't think this is unique to America or our modern age. Selling our people are against your people. Our people are good and right. And those people, they're evil and they oppress us and we should go get them. That is as old as the Soviet Union. China, Mao did this so effectively, pitting one Chinese sect of people against other Chinese sects of people. Oh, those are the barbarian ones. Those are the evil ones. Those are the bad ones. And the horrible thing about race activism is it is impossible. It's impossible for it not to result in more race activism. One thing begets the other. You know, you get to this place where, and people are going to think I'm lying who aren't old enough, but people who are old enough will back me up on this of every color. By the time we got to the 80s, 90s, I don't want to act like there was racial harmony and it was all flowery. That's crazy. That's not true because that's not possible. There's always going to be racial differences and clashes. But the United States of America, by the time we got to the 80s, 90s, was about as close as you could get to racial harmony. We just never thought about it. It was never something that came up. This race this and white this and black this. It was never really talked about that much. Everyone was just kind of friends and went along their time. But when you say that to young people, they'll look at you like you just grew a third head because they've never known any other world where there's this endless racial strife. Racial scab picking and poking and they suck and they suck and they suck. And that's because the United States of America made the possibly deadly move of electing Barack Obama. Barack Obama was raised as a race communist. Race communism is so easy to sell to people because it's simple. Simple is always easy to sell. Hey, look at you. Look at you. You're black. Look at your skin. You're black. All the problems you have, it's those white people. Isn't that as simple as it gets? Okay, black, good, white, bad. Black, good, white, bad. There's no simpler sell than that. And so he begins all this race agitation and race agitation and race agitation. Well, that's inevitably going to create more racial strife on every side. Eventually, you're going to have white people say, well, okay, well, screw you. If I'm going to be attacked for this, then I've decided these are my people and you're not my people. Well, This is what happens when you elect evil communist dividers. It snowballs into a country now with racial strife everywhere. And you can lay all of it at the feet of Barack Obama because he was the one. He was the one who recognized America was primed for this. There was just enough white guilt. There was just enough black anger to ride that into dividing the country up the way he wanted to divide it up. And he did every single chance he got. He ran to the cameras and played that card and tore this place apart. And then the funding for all the DEI stuff poured in. Now you have corporate America openly bragging about not hiring white people. That creates even more racial strife. I just want to let you know, it wasn't like this. I never knew this world. It was not like this. I'm sure Chris probably doesn't know any other world given his age. It was never talked about. It was never argued about. It wasn't a thing for us. And it's not like I grew up in places where it wouldn't have been a thing. It just wasn't a thing. Not a major thing back then. You elect one communist, he is going to create and nurture all the malcontents he can find. And the easiest way to do it is racial division. Because there's always a group that probably doesn't have the same standard of living of another set of groups in the country. This is the same in every other country. I know you think I'm talking about just black people in America, and that may be what I'm talking about right now. But in any country, there's always a group. Sometimes it's religious. Sometimes it's race. There's always a group that maybe doesn't have the same income level. Their neighborhoods aren't as bad. And that is always the first place you will find the communist doing his thing, because that's where the malcontents are. You, your neighborhood sucks. Your schools suck. Your jobs suck. You don't make enough money. Look at your skin. It's black, right? Well, that's because you're the good guy. And you know who did all this to you? White people. Go get them. It's an easy sell. And dumb people, angry people, bitter people, they'll dive on that. They'll jump into that. And you can gain power from it. Gross. Really gross. But that's what communists do. Jesse, how do you and Fred hunt beavers in the Texas heat? If it's okay, first. Fred didn't ever hunt anything. Fred is a moron. Now, he's loud and he's big and he will most definitely bite an intruder. But Fred... Fred is not the most capable dog I've ever had. He can't even smell very well. Chris, you think I'm making this up? If I drop a piece of food on the floor, bacon, a chip, something like that, my whole life I've just called the dog. Hey, Jack. Hey, Hank. Hey, Sam, come over here. They'll come over because it's a dog. They'll probably smell the food before they even get there and go right for it. You can call Fred over and he won't have any idea what you're talking about. You will have to bend over and actually put your finger right by the food on the ground, or Fred will never know it's there. He won't discover it at all. When we were in Montana, that's where I was beaver hunting, by the way. I never told you because I didn't want you to know I was in Montana, but that's where I was killing beavers for my mom. Lots and lots of them. Millions. It was only two. Well, maybe one. But either way, lots and lots of them. Fred tried to, quote, hunt animals. But when I say hunt, he would see a bird. He would bark as loud as humanly possible. And then he would kind of bound towards the bird. And you know, he's this big, fluffy idiot. And loudly barking and bounding and very clearly probably wanted to play with it, the bird would take off, but Fred wouldn't see it. He can't see, he can't hear, he can't smell. He would just keep bounding over to where the bird was and look around completely lost that the bird he saw before wasn't there. What, Chris? No, it's not because he's a designer dog, Chris. He's not a designer dog. It's not that he doesn't have hunter instincts, which is what you just said. He doesn't have any instincts. We went for these long walks with my mom through the neighborhood up there. This is through the neighborhood. We're not in the Montana wilderness. Through the neighborhood. Fred got lost almost every time. He would stay behind with a smell or something like that. And then by the time he woke up and realized he was alone, he would have no earthly idea how to get back to us or how to get back to the house. He would usually just stay there and we'd have to backtrack and go back and find Fred. I don't know what to say. I've never had a dog this useless in my life. I don't even know why I give him rough greens. We give him rough greens because we're in love with the idiot. And everybody in our family is. Everybody who meets him is. Everyone's in love with the big moron. And so we sprinkle rough greens on his food because we want him to live longer. And that is going to be a freaking rough day when that big fluffy moron dies. I'll tell you that much. But we have seen a tremendous difference in his coat and his breath and everything else when we started actually giving him nutrition. I will be honest with you right now. Rough greens will do nothing for your dog's intelligence. It certainly didn't help Fred's, but it did help its digestive system. Rough greens is the number one dog supplement in the United States of America. You're going to see a difference in your dog, your dog's energy, your dog's coat, your dog's breath. Your dog will live longer. You'll be at the vet less. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag and see what I mean. 214-ROUGH-DOG. Just use the code Jesse. Or you can go to roughgreens.com. Again, use the code Jesse. Let's talk about Somali gangs and do some emails. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to some of those here in just a minute. But so we know about the crime committed by foreigners in this country, right? We know, don't we? No, we don't. I don't know, and you don't know. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about all the crimes you know that are committed by foreigners in this country. All the crimes you've heard of, headlines, stuff we've talked about here. Now, understand this. You know about all those crimes with the American media doing everything they can to cover them up, the FBI doing everything it can to cover them up, and many, if not most, of the major police departments in this country doing everything they can to cover them up. All of those institutions are part of the system. The system, as we've explained, requires the mass importation of disloyal foreigners or the system collapses. The media understands this. The FBI understands this. Education system understands this. What you know, the crimes you know, the crimes I know committed by foreigners in this country is a tiny, tiny, tiny window into how many have been committed. I'll use this as an example. When I was in Montana at my mom's house, I was walking through her house one night. I'm usually not up late, but I was thirsty. It was a lot drier up there. I'm used to the humidity. Got real thirsty, woke up, wanted a glass of water. I left my room to go get a glass of water in the kitchen. Who do I run into? I run into Luke, my youngest son. What's he doing? I could tell right away by the look on his face he was doing something I wasn't supposed to know about. He had two handfuls of, one handful was full of licorice. The other handful was full of cookies. Now, let me ask you something. I never get up in the middle of the night. And my mother, because she's a grandma, loves to not only feed them whatever they want, to hide it from me and Aubrey so they don't get in trouble. So allow me to ask the question. Is that the only time Luke got up and went and got licorice or cookies? No, of course not. That was very clearly something that happened all the time. And I knew that because all the entities involved, all of them were interested in keeping this information away from me. I discovered it almost by accident. All the crimes you hear about, some illegal gets hammered, goes and wipes out a family of five on the road. Lake and Riley gets brutalized and murdered. Jocelyn Nungary. You could go down the list of crime after crime after crime committed by foreigners in this country. You don't even know the tip of the iceberg because the entirety of the American media wants them all here. Tom Emmer, who actually sucks, he's the House Majority Whip, but I'll give him credit for this, starting to raise a stink about the Somali gangs now operating openly in Minnesota. Apparently, one of them showed up at a high school basketball game and started beating a kid right there in the open with a tire iron. I've heard stories out of Minneapolis that would blow your mind. Why haven't you heard these stories? Because the entire media apparatus in Minnesota, they're all communists. The entire political apparatus in Minnesota, they're all communists. The mass importation of disloyal foreigners is good for their political power, so they're not going to run at the nightly news with the fact that Somalis have taken over, violent ones, have taken over portions of town, entire city blocks. They beat people, rob people, murder people, steal cars. And the American media, if they get a story like that, they open it up and say, oh, look at that, a robbery. Ooh, it was the Somalis. You know what? Let's run with something else. Should we trash Trump tonight? Because they, like every other communist entity in the country, they believe in using their power for the revolution. And if you are in the American media and you start to expose the fact that these masses of foreigners come in here and crime follows them and they pillage America, you understand that that hurts the revolution. That's just built in. So you ignore it. You cover it up. You act like it doesn't exist. When someone does bring it up, you call him an extremist. Oh, what are you, one of these right-wing extremists? You're probably an extremist. What are you, racist? Because you understand. Not that that person's racist. Not that that person's an extremist. You understand. The communist at every level understands we have to have these people here. Because the American people, patriotic American people, who love their country, will never allow us to pillage it the way we want to pillage it. We require new voters. A new loyal army is what we require. So we will open up our borders. We will open up our, quote, refugee system. And we will bring in as many as humanly possible to ensure we remain in power forever. Unbelievably evil, yeah. But has been a very effective strategy. Do you know how few Democrats we'd have in elected office without mass importation of foreigners? It would shock you. It would shock me. I don't know either. We'll never know. I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that violent crime's not going to go down anytime soon. That's just a fact. There are these areas that are controlled by the animals still, and violent crime is still there. So what are you doing to protect yourself? To stop one from hurting you. Isn't that moment every parent, every father, every mother, isn't that moment we all dread? Hey, your daughter got assaulted in the parking lot last night. That's the moment we all dread. Do you have a Byrna launcher on you? Does your daughter? Ah, but daddy, it's too big. It's the size of a smartphone. It'll slip right in her little hot chick purse. It's non-lethal. I don't like guns. It's non-lethal. It shoots tear gas rounds. It's legal in all 50 states. SWAT teams carry them. Private security firms carry them. You don't need a permit. You just call and order one. And it gives you something that will stop a bad man from hurting you or the one you love. BYRNA. Byrna.com. You can also go try one at your local Sportsman's Warehouse. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we're going to do a couple emails here in a moment, but I can't let this one go. Deborah Birx, you remember her. She was Fauci's right-hand woman. She honestly should be lucky that he got all the pub, because he still gets all the hate when she was just as sick and evil as he was. But she said something. She was talking about remdesivir versus ivermectin. And what she said specifically is not important. I'm going to play it here in a moment. But there is something that has taken place in America, and I'm not quite sure that we can fix it or how we fix it. But I know it has to be fixed. And I'm talking about the balkanization of the urban elites versus the entire rest of the country. I'm going to tell you something. It's healthy if you're in the country, if you're in a rural area. It's healthy to go to a city sometime. I'm not saying you have to spend the weekend. Not saying you have to move in. Go for dinner. Visit your brother, catch a concert. It's healthy. If you're in a city, if you're in a wealthy urban area, get out to Wyoming. See what it's like. I'm not saying you have to go in the winter. Get out to Arkansas. Go visit Western Tennessee. Get to rural America. Just have dinner. I'm not saying you have to stay. Okay, maybe it's not for you. I get that. I love them both, so I'm comfortable with either. Get out there and see what it's like. The way the people who run our country now speak about people who are not in New York, or not in Chicago, or not in LA, or not in DC, the way they speak about the vast majority of the land in this country blows me away. And you would only ever speak this way if you have never spent any significant time there. I want you to listen to what Deborah Birx says here. Listen to this.
Long before there was a vaccine, people were dying at higher rates in rural areas than any other counties in the United States. If you live in the Central Valley of California, your death rate was 3 to 4 times what the urbans were. And that's because they didn't have the same resources. They didn't have testing. They didn't have remdesivir. Everything that you had in the cities, they didn't have in rural areas. And I went rural community by rural community. And then you wonder why they used ivermectin, because there wasn't a doctor there. There was only a vet. And that's how things happen. And then we're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, this is on us. This is on us for the last 40 years, watching this stuff just go away.
Those stupid people, those dummies in Oklahoma, they don't even have doctors. Everyone goes to the local vet and asks for some cow medication whenever they're sick. There are doctors everywhere, you snobby. I can't say that on the air. You know, we have doctors in rural America. Did you know that? We had COVID testing. It was everywhere. Everyone had it. Everyone had access to all kinds of things. I will correct her on something. We didn't all have access to ivermectin. And you know why we didn't? Because the medical establishment in this country started blocking pharmacies from filling ivermectin prescriptions, even though I know doctors who successfully treated their patients with ivermectin several times over. They all told me you have to catch it early, but you catch it early, you can treat it with that. And pharmacies in this country, the medical profession in this country, is so inherently evil, they blocked pharmacies from filling prescriptions that were given out by people's doctors for it. And so, yes, I actually do know people who went to their vet and tried to figure out the dosage. But they don't even have doctors there. All they have is a vet. That stupid little country town. I don't even think they know what a doctor is. They probably all still just ride horses and wear overalls. This is how the people who run the country look at rural America. And maybe it's because I've lived lots of my life in rural America. It makes me want to choke somebody. I love them both. I've told you, I adore New York City. I'm going to Boston soon, and I can't wait to nerd out in Boston. Coming for you, WRKO. Love you. I love the city. But man, I just spent a month in rural America. You know something my kids remarked on, and it actually made me feel a little bit guilty, if I'm being honest? How polite everybody was up there. And I'm in Texas. It's not as if this is a rude place. People are wonderful here. But you'd go to Taco Bell up there. You know, we like to eat nice. We go to Taco Bell up there. And instead of, it's Taco Bell, what do you want? Yeah, go ahead. That's what you get here. And instead it was, hello, welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get you? Thank you so much. Have a pleasant day. Everybody, everywhere, Chris. Oh, it wasn't like it was Taco Bell. Everywhere. You're trying to cross the road. Everyone stops. Oh, please. Oh, can I get that door for you? Oh, everything. My kids were floored. Dad, everyone's so polite here. Everyone has manners. And I'm not trying to insult a city, but if you're in a city right now, get out. Go visit. And if you're from rural America, go do a weekend in New York. Go to LA. Experience it. Talk to people there. The way the elites who run our country think about 95% of our country kills me. Absolutely kills me. Let's do some emails. Jesse, quote, what made you so liberal? A question that was asked of the queen of commies in my personal socials. Her answer, quote, I was 9 and I remember watching the biggest names in music come together for We Are the World in Live Aid to raise money to feed starving children across the world. That's when I learned that we try to help those less fortunate than ourselves. Even if we ourselves are in a less fortunate position, other human beings are suffering more. She said, Oracle, make it make sense. Well, I will make it make sense. We've had this conversation before. This does apply to men too, but it applies more to women. People ask all the time, why are young women the most committed communists in the country? And they were the most committed communists under Mao. They were the most rabid, murderous, torturous. They were the ones who loved torture the most. Why is it young women? It doesn't make sense. A young woman should be a nurturer, a mother. Well, that's exactly why. They take your good nature you are created with, and they use it for evil. They pervert it. They divert it, frankly. You lost your daughter when you sent her to college, not because your daughter is a monster. Maybe they turned her into one, but your daughter has a wonderful, nurturing, mothering spirit. That's how she was created, to nurture, to raise a baby. What communists are masterful at is taking that and essentially turning her into a warrior, a vicious, sadistic warrior for the cause of communism, and she feels like she's the mother of it. When you have a liberal Aunt Peggy defending bringing in a serial rapist from Guatemala, and you're looking at her and you can't understand how someone could be that soulless, stupid, and evil, it's because over time, she was manipulated into believing that she is the mother of the communist movement. And she will nurture it, and she will kill to protect it, and fight to protect it. They manipulate the wonderful, nurturing nature of young women and turn them into communists. They're the easiest recruits and the most vicious foot soldiers every single time. You want to learn more about that? You know, Hillsdale will teach you all kinds of history. Hillsdale College will teach you things you never knew, even about subjects you may know a lot about. Do you know a lot about the Constitution? I guarantee you know something. You're listening to this show. You know something about the Constitution. Did you know Hillsdale has a course on it they'll teach you for free? Ah, Jesse, I don't need that. You'll be blown away. Not just at the things that are in it. Why did they put this in there? I don't understand. This article, this section, why was this? Hillsdale will give you that knowledge free of charge. Are you interested in stories about the ancient Christian church? Just getting rolling. Free of charge. All you have to do is go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, and you will learn so much at no cost. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Maybe you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are in our final segment here, but of course we will be back tomorrow. I saw this story and it kind of made me snicker because it's just a story that can be repeated in various ways in our country and in every country. French media warns air conditioners cause thermal shock to the human body. You know how the system speaks with one voice? They're always marching forward on the same revolution. And we've talked before about how if the communists in the government wanted people to believe the sky was green and they started putting out that information, it wouldn't be long until the media would start having experts on the sky being green. Oh, we're going to have a whole special on tonight about the greenness of the sky. The system speaks with one voice. And as the communists in this country and other Western countries have attacked and in some ways destroyed our standard of living, they rely on media and education to tell the public either that it's not happening or tell the public that, yes, it's happening, but it's a good thing in the end. Europeans have a much lower standard of living than Americans. I know that we're supposed to always preach about how much better it is over there. It's just better here. And don't get me wrong, I've been there a few times. There are some things I like about it. Some of the cities seem to be more walkable. Yes, a lot of the food does seem fresher. My wife can't really eat bread here in America. Makes her sick. She can eat bread by the loaf over there. Nothing. No problem. So, look, there are some things. There's no question about it. But they have a way lower standard of living. Their homes are smaller. Air conditioning? Good luck finding that somewhere. You have tons of things they don't have. And that's because they're more advanced on the socialism scale than we are. They take huge amounts of the money from their citizens. They hand it out to all these disgusting causes while at the same time embracing all the climate commie garbage. And now, whenever it gets hot in Europe, and it does, they act like this is a new thing every time it happens. It gets hot in Europe. They have summer too. It gets into the 90s, even the 100s. And every time it gets hot over there, it's always treated as some unprecedented heat wave. And Europeans who are laying around sweaty, which is extra gross because they're European, they're laying around sweaty and they're wanting to get cool, only they don't have air conditioning. The power bills are astronomical over there, so they couldn't afford to power the air conditioning even if they add it, and they start to get angry, and the government says, "I'm sorry, you can't. You'll go into shock if you go into the air conditioning." And the media rolls out the lies with them. Well, I mean, that's right. We've done some studies. We had an expert on, and you definitely don't need air conditioning. That's just a luxury. The Western civilization now, run by communists, is communists destroying your life, and the media telling you either it's not happening or that it is happening, and it's just okay. See it everywhere. You see it absolutely everywhere. Oh, don't think these climate commies are done. This is the United Nations International Court of Justice. Think about this.
Climate change poses a quintessentially universal...
Definitely doesn't sound American.
Climate change poses a quintessentially universal risk to all states. This risk is of a general and urgent character, requiring the identification of a corresponding general standard of conduct to be applied subject to the principle of common but differentiated...
Oh my gosh, I'm so bored. Is he almost done?
...responsibility and respective capabilities. As concerns climate change, a heightened degree of vigilance and prevention is required. The court concludes
that the duty of states to prevent significant environmental harm applies in the context of climate change, and that this...
I'm too bored. Just know he was talking about climate change being the biggest existential threat, and they have a duty to prevent it. And this is all going to end up in the end with an international criminal court for anybody who actually creates actual energy for their country. It's all one big ugly disaster. Anyway, enough about that for today.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Ma'am Donnie, that's that guy running for mayor in New York. What's the point of having prisons? Well, he obviously knows the point of having prisons, but he also understands that violent criminals raping and murdering people helps further the communist revolution, and so that's why they always sell this soft on crime with lie narrative. Report, California's $20 fast food minimum wage led to 18,000 fewer jobs. No way. I thought you could just make these corporations pay whatever to employees who flip burgers and everything would remain the same. Voting for Democrats is an act of evil and you will destroy wherever you vote them in. Indian police arrest a man accused of running a fake embassy. I love this so much, I can't even hide it. I have told you this before. I want to be an ambassador so badly. And I don't really care what the country is. I actually don't want it to be India. I think I have no desire to go see India. But almost any place on the planet besides India, I should be the American ambassador there. I would. Why do you shake your head, Chris? I would host these wild parties, and I'd show people my beaver pelts and my ice maker, and America would prosper. Trump administration reportedly taking an axe to the climate agenda cornerstone. Trump really is doing some great things. I know no presidency is perfect, but we are taking great strides in this administration, with this administration, and we still have 3.5 years left. Keep on chopping away. NPR's top editor jumps ship as the media outlet faces a future without federal funding. Her name is Edith Chapin. Edith Chapin. And I really want you to look her up, because if you could close your eyes and picture what the editor-in-chief of NPR looks like, I guarantee your mental picture is going to be Edith Chapin. It's almost hilarious. Spain seeks to declassify Franco-era secret files. Yes, let's hope they're bringing them back. Oh, wait, it's a commie government. Either way, we were going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to do this again. All right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.